Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have our Christmas special with our own Father Patrick and much more.
Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight we have our Christmas special. And joining me is Father Mark and Father Patrick. Welcome, guys.
Long time no see.
Well, thank you. Father Patrick, it's always great to have you on the show. And you have a very special story tied up to Christmas, especially at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament during the Christmas Eve Mass. And that's where you really discovered your vocation to the priesthood and religious life. Can you speak about that?
Sure. So actually this year, it was 25 years ago as a college student that I went. And so Christmas, of course, is always special that we reflect upon the birth of Christ, his coming among us. But for me, it's also a time just to recall that great gift of my vocation and discerning the call to the priesthood and religious life. But I just, as a recap, I went with my family. We drove up from Florida just to do something different for Christmas that particular year. And I went into the shrine, the midnight mass. Of course, this is 1 year after the shrine was completed. The nuns had moved in December of 99. This is Christmas of 2000. So it was all fairly new up there. And I felt this clear, peaceful pull, this draw toward the priesthood. And eventually, and again, that helped me discern priesthood and religious life. And it was very peaceful, of course, and just in the midst of the reverence. And I didn't hear like specific words or anything, but just like this, it was very clear, this pull, this attraction toward the priesthood. And I think, you know, for a lot of, you know, young people discerning, we want to hear God's voice. We know a vocation is a calling from God. And it's just a reminder that Mass is a good place to go to listen to the voice of God, you know, and he can speak to us certainly through scripture, through the readings, through the prayers, the collects from the Missal, the official prayers of the church. Maybe it's something that's said in the sermon or homily, or just for me particularly, I think it was just like the reverence, the transcendence of the Mass. Like it really struck me that this is a holy thing that's going on here, the Mass. Yeah. And again, through that, I just felt this draw that the Lord was calling me to himself to serve him in this manner.
You never had any inklings before that, or?
As a very young, when I was probably like 9 or 10, I remember my mom asking me, but I don't think I ever said, okay, yes, or the thought was there, but I never took it seriously. Yeah.
And that was your first time to the shrine?
That was my first time at the shrine, yep. And priesthood was not on my mind going into that. So it wasn't like I possibly feel this call and I'm looking for a sign. It was, priesthood was not on the radar at all going into that Mass. So again, I think, you know, especially of course, if there's any young men out there, you know, come check us out, you know, franciscanmissionaries.com. But I think just in general for young people, just discerning, again, going to Mass is a great, that's where heaven meets earth, right? And the Lord can certainly speak to us through the Mass, but also in the context of Eucharistic adoration or praying scripture, that's the way that we listen to God's voice. But yeah, so Christmas for me is always special, just recalling that great gift in my own life of the Lord calling.
Yeah, I think just opening ourselves up during this time of Christmas and really asking, you know, God to reveal in our hearts, you know, are we just to discern the priesthood or marriage, you know, the religious life, and to ask for those graces, you know, that, you know, the path, the door will be open. And I sincerely believe during that time, God will lead you.
He did say, ask and you shall receive. You know, he wants us to ask.
And I think Christmas in particular emphasizes that just the gift, the free gift of Jesus, of his love for us. And that's one of the things I love about the season is that it makes it very simple. And I know sometimes I lose sight of that with preaching all these technical homilies or whatever, nuances or this or that, and you miss, you know, Jesus is coming to us and he makes a gift of himself. The word becomes flesh, comes to us. And we have to receive him in faith and love him in return.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to keep the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, right?
So. And that was so close to St. Francis, too, was the incarnation and the nativity of really that humility of God and how he comes to us in such a just a gentle and mild manner. Yeah. And it kind of catches us off guard. And I think, too, whenever I hear your story about your own journey to the priesthood, you know, how that may have surprised you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, now that you're hearing this voice, you know, say, come to me. And, you know, and that's a very different thing to hear, you know, especially in today's world and climate. Because a lot of times people will say, well, why would you want to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the draw? What's the appeal there?
Yeah, yeah. There's a shock. There's a sense of surprise that you said with that. I recall, you know, one of the great, is a convert to the faith, Ronald Knox, the English convert. He like compared Christmas to our God coming among us as like a game of hide and seek. That when, you know, it started, he said it started with Adam and Eve when the Lord was like playing just his parents play with the children. He said, where are you? You know, after the sin. But then he hides, but he's giving us little hints throughout salvation history. Yeah. And then he comes on the scene, you know, in by becoming man, you know, in the manger. But there's an element of surprise because we would never expect that, our God to come to us in such humility and simplicity. It kind of catches you off guard. But this is the way of our God to draw us to himself. He doesn't want us to come to him in fear, but out of love.
Yeah, we constantly see images and media and stuff of celebrity culture and wealth and success and achievement and everything. And there's always standards. It seems like we don't measure up to these impossible standards. But yeah, he's coming in a manger, right? In a place where animals are kept and this utter poverty and simplicity. And so it's non-threatening. And, you know, we have a great fear. It can be in all of us in the secular world too, you know, especially we have like this fear of God. What's he going to ask of us? What's he going to demand? I got to change my life. But if we see it as a gift, I think, in a response to what he's done for us, that he's with us now, it takes away the fear to some extent, right? Mm-hmm. So.
You know, in Advent too, it prepares us, it gives us that sense of longing, of that anticipation of Christ coming to us. And that's something often, you know, you see reflected in the Old Testament in the historical context of the whole Jewish people, nation, waiting for the Savior to come. Father Mark, can you speak about that?
Yeah, the beautiful Advent liturgies, you know, we have, you know, the readings on John the Baptist and the ancient prophecies, you know, Zephaniah, these beautiful prophecies about the coming of Christ. But even right off the bat, like we mentioned the garden, you know, Genesis 3:15, when God is speaking about these punishments, you know, he talks to the snake, right? The snake guy, right? I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. And right there is the proto-gospel, they call it, the first good news, that the seed of the woman is going to come and crush the head of that ancient serpent, the devil. He's going to destroy sin and death. So that's right out of the gates. You know, we have this terrible fall, and we have hope. And then we see, you know, God forms his people of Israel, the nation, and reveals himself to them, the law, how to worship him and all this. But they keep failing, right? We fail to live these covenants. There's captivities, there's invasions and all this stuff. So there's this constant kind of yearning for fulfillment. Who's going to be able to do this? Who's going to be able to keep the covenant? who's going to live God's word here? So the word himself comes, the fullness of revelation. They have partial revelations in the Old Testament. Now we have the fullness in Christ, that everything God wants to tell us is in his word, his son, you know, Jesus. And you know, he crosses the temple threshold at the presentation. You know, what a fulfillment. You know, we think, you know, our country's 250 years old or something. You know? It's like these guys are hanging on for
centuries.
Yeah. 2,000 years almost with Call of Abraham and stuff. And so, you know, when we get into that, we can get caught up in that hope, that desire, that longing. You know, God speaks to us in salvation history. Just he acts in history like that. And to go over those passages and just think about them.
And I think, too, I think you've said something very profound because, you know, in our culture and society, the story of Jesus, in one sense, has become very common to us. But if we kind of remove ourselves from that picture and go back to the Old Testament, you know, we can ask ourselves, well, what makes Jesus different? You know, as somebody that is a historical figure, religious figure, and you look at throughout the writings, you know, there's a promise of God saying that there is a Savior coming. There's been this whole movement of a preparation for mm-hmm. his coming, the signs and prefigurements, the foretelling by the prophets for centuries. And it's added up, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes I think it's good for us to kind of review and go back to the, read those words yeah. of the great prophets about the coming of Christ, you know, and coming into our lives, coming into our hearts, really changing us yeah. as he did with the apostles. Mm-hmm. And it's such a huge movement. mm-hmm. So I think it's easy to sometimes get sidetracked with all of that about how intimate our Lord comes to us.
Yeah, and I think another thing too with this is if we look at these stories from the Old Testament, like that was a substantial amount of time. Like from the time yeah. of Adam and Eve to Christ, it's about 4,000 years. And like some of the fathers of the church too, they commented like, there's a reason why did God wait so long? And they, you know, they were speculating, well, if the Lord, like you said, the promise came right away, you know, in Genesis 3:15, but if he would have sent the Savior, the Redeemer right away, we could have taken it for granted. We may even think, well, we could have fixed ourselves, you know, but mm-hmm. waiting 4,000 years, it's very clear we can't redeem ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And it also does increase this longing because the promise is already made about the Redeemer, and it's just like the yearning increases over the centuries. And that opens us to greater gratitude when he does come.
Yeah, if we could have fixed it, we would have. Exactly. Yeah, we believe that lie today, mm-hmm, even yeah. more so, I think, with the virtual reality and virtual world and this technological yeah. solution, this hope that it gives us of to fix all our problems. You know, it's just always changing, growing, getting better, and you know, have greater things it can do. It gives us this false hope that we can't fix our inner being right. through that. And you think of like John the Baptist figure. So we have at least a couple Sundays on him and what he's doing. And, you know, I like to say he's out in the desert doing push-ups. You know? And if you ever go through that desert, you know, if you drive east out of Jerusalem, like to the Jordan River, I mean, it's not like this Phoenix desert with the swirl cactuses and stuff and various bushes. It's like barren rock and dust and everything. And he's out there, right? Camel's hair and eating wild locusts and wild honey, whatever it is. And he's waiting. And his message is, you know, he must increase, I must decrease. You know, we got to die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We got to get small, you know, go to the manger, run with the shepherds. The shepherds were poor people. They were discounted in society. They couldn't even testify in court. You know, they're considered lower class or whatever. These are the ones waiting. You know, if I'm really big, I'm not going to enter into the manger.
Well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the Christmas spirit. Father Patrick, Advent is usually understood as a time for penance, prayer, you know, preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ during the Christmas season. But can you talk a little bit about that transition from maybe that spirit of penance to a spirit of joy?
Sure. And I think, you know, right before the break, Father Mark was talking about John the Baptist, and that was one of his big things that he preached about was prepare the way of the Lord. And that's really the whole point of the penance, mm-hmm. is to clear out any obstacles in our souls, you know, the spiritual junk or excess that has gotten in the way. I recall reading the story about John Paul II, who he was in Rome, and he asked a group of children, are you preparing for Christmas? And they shouted, yes. He said, what are you doing? And he said, we're praying. And he said, very good. We should be praying and also going to confession. He said, will you go to confession? And he said, yes. And he said, you know, the Pope will also go to confession, you know, in order to receive the child Jesus worthily. Mm-hmm. And just what a good example that, you know, he practiced what he preached, mm-hmm. but also confession, like Advent is a great time to go to confession, to prepare our souls. But the whole point of this penance again is again to clear the way that we might be able to receive the Lord more purely. And again, that will open us up to greater gratitude. And I think that's the transition into joy, is that if we take that time of penance to reorient our lives to Christ, to get out the obstacles, we're going to experience more of His grace, be more receptive to the graces He wants to give us. And that leads to joy. There's a joy with that.
Both of you do quite a bit of double time in the confessional during the you serve here at EWTN in the Shrine, but often you're called to serve in the parishes here, and you'll help out and assist. And I think it's always great to see, because to me it always seems that at certain times of the year, especially Advent, just the number of penitents, people going to confession, and just having that, just the longing to be reconciled with God, to have that relationship. Yeah.
It is truly a great gift, and we experience that ourselves too, that we don't go to be yelled at or condemned, but to receive God's mercy. And there is a great peace, unburdening when we walk out of there, that oftentimes it can lead to a great joy, when you make a good confession.
And Father Mark, how does Our Lady serve as a model of the faithful during Advent and Christmas?
Yeah, she's certainly a great theme in Advent as well. And we have the Annunciation, that she receives the news, the announcement from Gabriel, and she responds with her fiat, let it be done to me according to thy word. And she gives God permission. She says yes. And the word takes flesh from her. Mm. Her alone takes flesh from her. So she has this great role and figure for us, who's to be our mother. We have in Advent, we use, after night prayer, we sing, we always have like a Marian hymn, and we have the Alma Redemptoris Mater, means, O loving mother of our Redeemer. And the text is, Gate of heaven, star of the sea, hasten to aid thy fallen people who strive to rise once more. Thou who brought forth thy holy creator, all creation wondering, yet remainest ever virgin, taking from Gabriel's lips that joyful hail, be merciful to us sinners. Man, there's so much packed in there. In fact, just an aside, I was at the SEEK conference, and they sang the Palestrina Polyphony version of this at communion at one of the masses. And the bishop is in the homily was talking about, when did you encounter Jesus? And my mind was racing. I couldn't think of like a moment.
Mm. Yeah.
And then that piece reminded me, that hymn reminded me of like Mary's role in my life, but all of our lives, that she is our loving mother of the Redeemer. She hastens to aid thy fallen people who strive to rise once more.
Yeah.
That I'm not rising from my own efforts alone. I cooperate, yes, but by God's grace, He's given us His mother to help us in this journey, that she brings us to Jesus. We just had the funeral mass of Sister Michael, one of the original five sisters that came down with Mother Angelica. And Sister Michael had written this nice little note just before her death, and she said she thanked Our Lady for bringing her to Jesus. I thought that was such a simple way to put it, but Mary hastens, she comes for us, and to bring us as a mother who wants our salvation, who wants what's best for us. I mean, this is the supreme goal of our life, that Our Lady is there to help us to come to Jesus. So she has this special role in Advent in preparing us for Christmas to receive Him. She brings us to the manger, right? And that's what I love about the liturgy. We have these certain seasons that emphasize these great certain themes that we can just take for granted, and it forces us, in a sense, to reflect upon them. Yeah. But there's also a special grace in that season. I like to think of Advent as just like John the Baptist is telling us that I got to increase. So I deny myself stuff. I live a simpler life. We calm things down. And here in the Northern Hemisphere, right, it's winter. So we slow down. We make room for Jesus, right? Yeah. And Mary helps us in that. So.
Just that line that she hastens to help us after we fall, whenever we strive to reconnect ourselves with God, because so often we can feel disconnected.
Yeah, and we constantly need that help.
We do.
It's not just some ancient fall, but it's like in our spiritual life.
Yeah.
We're continually falling. It's like, I need her. Yeah. I need her strength.
And I think as you walk more in faith, you realize how fragile you really are.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just this big, strong guy. Yeah. It almost doesn't take much. And we do need that that reminder, that Savior, you know, to that grace, you know, because in the end, you know, God sees us as we really are. You know, we just kind of see ourselves trotting along. Yeah. And that final picture, you know, we don't even know the glory to expect, you know, but it will be awesome.
Well, it's the opposite message of the world, right? The world's telling us, get strong on your own, be strong. Maybe that's a masculine theme, but, you know, we have a Heavenly Mother coming to help us, you know, that we need a mother's help, you know, because we've fallen, right? She hastens to help us.
We also think of, you know, we often think of gifts during Christmas that, of course, Our Lady gave us Christ. That was in God's plan, but He also gave her to us, you know, and the Holy Spirit. Like at the Last Supper, He promised to send the Holy Spirit as a gift to us, and on the cross, He gave us Our Lady. So she also is a gift to us that we can also reflect upon during this Christmas season, that this is a gift from God to give us, you know, this mother, this spiritual mother.
You know, I was recently rereading Vatican II on this Lumen Gentium chapter 8, and it uses, I think, more than once that she's bringing us these gifts of eternal life. It uses that phrase. John Paul II repeated that a lot. So at the cross, when He's meriting for us that eternal life, she's given to us as a mother to bring us these gifts.
And Father Patrick, do you have just a short word? We don't have much time, but for anybody who's just kind of overwhelmed by Christmas, maybe struggling with loneliness or depression, any kind of word of encouragement to them?
Yeah, just to, this is a great time, based on my own experience, to get away. You know, if you need to go make a retreat or go on a pilgrimage, if you can't, just to make time in your own life, just to be with the Lord, go to an adoration chapel, or go to the chapel and just be quiet, be still before the Lord and allow Him in. You'd allow Him to speak to us. And again, He speaks us through the Mass, through adoration, through reading of sacred scripture, but just to allow Him to work. And just, there's nothing wrong with just coming before Him and just receiving. You know, that's, again, we think of the receiving of gifts, just to receive what the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us His peace and Himself.
Well, thank you, Father Mark and Father Patrick, and for everything you've shared with us this evening. And Father Mark, can you send us out with a blessing?
Well, may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you, may He give you His peace. And we pray especially for those who are lonely or isolated, maybe do not have loved ones or family with them, that the Holy Spirit may make present the mystery of Christ in their life to bring joy and peace and happiness. And may God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Sure.